Hello and welcome to King of Our Nightmares. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Noah.
And we're talking about The Dark Tower, Book One, The Gunslinger. And we're talking about the Schwartz, I guess.
Schwartz, indeed. This title, all the Dark Tower titles are utterly terrible in German.
Okay, I'm excited. What does that translate to?
Black. Literally just black.
Gosh, where do we begin with the Dark Tower? Other than it's like what Stephen King's really known for is this incredibly long series of books about a gunslinger walking across the desert. But that only happens in the first book because they think most people read the first book and try to read Drawing of the Three and get real confused and give up.
I think they give up because of the gunslinger. I think that's the common thing where they say it's hard to read and then fans recommend you read the rest, you read Drawing of the Three, because that's really in King's style of the 80s.
Well, because you read, and then it goes back in time, and then it goes back in time again. It's just flashbacks. That's what most of this book is. It's just flashbacks and kind of world building. So I've held up two different versions. So did Noah, because there's technically three versions that King himself wrote of The Dark Tower, The Gunslinger, and then Marvel had an adaptation of comics, which included the short story Little Sisters of Eluria and other content that King never wrote to kind of tie it to the backstory that's in Wizard and Glass and Wolves of the Kala a little bit. But for the sake of this, we're going to be talking about the collected version from the early 80s, because this was originally broken up. It was serialized for a magazine.
The Magazine of Fantasy and Science Fiction.
Yes. Which the chapter breakdowns are like that in both of these. But in 2003, when he wrote the last three, what we thought were going to be the last three Dark Tower books, because there turned out to be a book four and a half he wrote. He expanded and revised The Gunslinger to make it sound more like the other books.
Insert continuity, because
To fix continuity, because there's a lot of continuity errors between Gunslinger and the rest of the books that aren't easily explained away, because there's continuity errors in all these books, but it's explained. We'll get to that when we get into specifically Drawing of the Three and Wastelands. Mm-hmm. Because he messes up how New York's laid out in those books.
And it's explained later on.
It is explained. It's actually explained, I think, in Song of Susanna. Mm-hmm. Specifically explains it. But I have issues with the 2003 expanded version. Roland talks too much like he's in the Kala and not the High Speech. And that might sound like utter nonsense. We got Matt Wilkins was watching, and he's probably like, oh, they're talking King. I don't understand what's going
Basically,
on.
Basically, let's break it down simple. In book five, Roland and his group are already on their journey to the Dark Tower, and they come in like a village called Calabrin Sturges. And they pick up the regional dialect and stuff and the way of speaking. And that stays for the remaining books.
Which is a lot of say true, say thank you. Things, that's kind of how they talk. And it's similar to the High Speech, which Roland talks with a thank you say and saying sigh and that sort of thing. I'm trying to think. But in King kind of goes back and forth in the revised version of the Gunslinger with the High Speech and the Kala. And it's just like he wrote those last three Dark Tower books back to back to back. Mm-hmm. So he was really into the Kala thing, so it would naturally bleed into this. So I have issue with that at times. It just doesn't seem right.
And there is a kind of explanation I mentioned already, which I can't hear because it's a major spoiler.
Yes, we can't talk about that, but...
if anyone wants to headcanon why he talks like that, I guess that works.
Yeah. The other thing is there's a Taheen in this.
Yeah.
So Taheens are bipedal humans with the heads of animals. They don't show up till... Are they in Wolves of the Kala? I don't think they are.
If they are, they are just mentioned. Wait, yeah. I think it's the flashbacks with Callahan, maybe. When he's in the TED Corporation building.
Those were vampires.
Were they not also Taheen there?
I don't think they're Taheen.
If not, then they are definitely in Song of Susanna.
Yeah, well, they're a big thing. The Kantoi and the Taheen. And... Ugh. I don't like Taheens. I just don't like them. They're creepy and weird, and they're villainous. This one's not. He's just mentioned for 2 seconds. It's just living on the outskirts of Tull. But this book is basically, it's broken down into like 4 or 5 parts. I'm pulling this up. I'm pulling up The Gunslinger, The Way Station, The Oracle in the Mountains, The Slow Mutants, and lastly, The Gunslinger and The Man in Black. Mm-hmm. And that's how they were broken up in the magazine. And so that stays true through any version you read. The big thing that's changed is in the first 2 parts, we get a lot of Roland dying of thirst and like seeing things.
And foreshadowing for later events.
Yeah.
Some subtle, some not so much.
No.
Like you mentioned, the allusion to him losing his fingers in the next book.
Well, that doesn't happen till the Oracle part. Okay. But yeah. Oh, I hated that. I forgot all about that. Because that's not in the original. The original has some issues too. Yeah. Roland's more... cold. He straight up murders a character when she begs him not to, whereas in this version,
yes,
she asks to be killed.
And I wonder if it is worse, because the whole like theme of the series is that Roland is a dick and he changes over the course of the series, so I'm wondering if he actually was this hardcore killing machine. If that would have worked better, if he was already established as being like, you know, that scene stood out to me, that she literally begs for mercy. Because I've only read, side note, this is the first time I've read the original version. I grew up with the revised edition, so.
See, and I was the reverse. I found the first collected version in an oversized paperback at a used bookstore when I was a teenager.
Yes.
When I was like 14, and I read that, and I've read the revised version. This is my second time reading the revised version, and that scene has always stood out to me as like it's like George Lucas, who shot first, hot or Greedo?
Yep,
that's Stephen King's version of that. I don't know, like there is a headcanon explanation for that, that goes with what Noah said earlier, which we cannot talk about for another 2 seasons. But yeah, no, Roland is an interesting character, but he is very much a bad person. Most of the bad things that happen to Roland are pretty much Roland's fault.
Yeah.
With the exception of Susan,
mm-hmm.
which is only part his fault. which she's brought up a lot in this. That was his love.
Yeah, I was surprised she was already mentioned in the original. Because yes. I assumed that was an element he added later on. But
no, her demise and stuff has always been a thing. Roland's past is interesting. His father was like a not a king necessarily, but he was like a lord and he controlled the land and the as Roland put it, there was a war. We won every battle, but lost the war. Which I think is like the best way of putting that, of the gunslinger's fall from grace and the good man John Farson's revolution, although Farson is not brought up as a character yet. Although there is a town of Farson.
Oh, in the original. In the
original, which has changed.
Taunton.
Yeah.
Because he realized, oh, I already named a character that?
Yeah, well, I mean, when Farson becomes a character, it's in Wizard Glass, which is 15 years after this was written. At least 15 years.
Should we talk about other little changes? I have the list here, because he also changes the name of Roland's dad in the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So in the original, he was Roland the Elder.
Yeah, and now he's Stephen. Yeah. Well, I mean, Lud is brought up, and that's not in the original.
Yeah, there's a lot of mentions of, like, elements, like the Crimson King, obviously, is already mentioned. The 19 already plays a role. Let me see what else. Oh, there's a change with the character of Aileen, who is mentioned in both versions. Yeah, in the original, she was like said to be Roland's lover in Gilead. That got removed, apparently.
Yeah, and that has to do that the comics try to bridge these two versions together.
Mm-hmm.
Which we may talk about the comics on here. Stephen King had kind of a hand in them, but not he was more hands off with them.
He did the George Lucas approach, you know.
Yeah. And not all of them are great. But a lot of it's worth your time to read the comics. And they're reprinting them right now. They're getting put in omnibuses for Marvel, which is nice to see. Which they never finished them. They only got halfway through the Wastelands.
Yeah, they literally ended with the whole group coming together. And then the end. And then they lost the rights. That's what happened.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Marvel, somehow they lost the rights. And then the new publisher owner just didn't do anything with it.
That's so frustrating.
And now they're just reprinting it. And that's it.
I wish they would continue it.
Yeah.
Get the last bit of Wizarding Glass, since we have all the backstory of Wizarding Glass. Just need the...
First, we need the whole second half of Wastelands.
Yeah. And I think Wolves of the Kala would be fun to see in a comic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do Song of Susanna. Be like 5 issues long.
They can stretch that and add some extra stuff. Then Dark Tower, probably 12 issues. And then somehow they have to squeeze in Wind Through the Keyhole.
Oh, that's true, because that's not all referenced.
Mm-hmm.
That's something with the Dark Towers. All these books are written. They have like a weird gimmick or writing mechanic that's weird. Like we said, this one's just flashbacks within flashbacks at times. Because at the beginning, Roland meets this guy at the edge of the desert. And has dinner with him and tells him what happened in Tol. And then in Tol, he has a flashback to his youth, which he runs into one of the men that was riding with Jonas, from Wizard and Glass, who is the piano player. I don't know if that's really brought up. I don't remember if that's brought up in the original.
I think it was, because I was confused by it. And I don't know if in... because I read the German translation, it may have been a mistake, because it's worded weirdly. Because he talks about the piano player, Shep.
Yeah.
In flashback current day in Tull. And then he compares it to, like, the piano music in the past.
Well, yeah, that's when it's brought up the first time, when they talk about how things were, because they're playing the old song, the old classic, Hey Jude, Ragtime, which just feels like it's played constantly in this. But there's another scene when Sheb tries to stab Roland when he's in bed with that woman, and he confronts him. And it's like, you were there at the charu tree, which he
was. Yeah, that's added for sure.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, because that's something he decides to add in Wizard and Glass, which when I read Wizard and Glass the first time, I was deeply confused. I'm like, oh, so Sheb was one of them? Yeah. It's weird. Basically, with Roland's backstory, we get the cook that's hung when they're really young. We get that flashback. I want to do a tally of, like, Roland's backstory that we actually get in the novels versus what Marvel gave us. Because it's very sparse at times. We get Roland's backstory. But we get Hax the cook being hung for treason. Being hanged, I think, is actually the correct term. He's being hanged for treason. We get Martin's affair with Roland's mother. / Roland challenging his mentor to get his guns. And we get the initial ballroom scene where Roland realizes that there's something going on between Martin and his mother. We haven't even talked about Jake yet.
Yep. There's a lot to talk about.
They're the other main character of this, who doesn't show up till halfway through the book. But anyway, so Roland killed everyone in Tull because the man in black set a trap for him. Which we don't know who exactly the man in black is. He thinks he's Martin. It's not Martin. Or is it Martin?
There's a difference between the two versions.
Yeah. May even be a certain someone from another book. But anyway, the next trap for Roland, after he literally just murdered everyone in a town. Oh, and he gave a woman an abortion with a handgun.
To be fair, she was pregnant with the Antichrist.
With a pre-Mordred?
Yeah. Thanks to the revised version, yeah.
And he kills everyone there. I can't stress that enough. He murders a bunch of townsfolk because they go crazy. And it is awesome and wonderful.
Indeed. Especially, I like that shot in the comic. I don't think the comic is really well drawn. I don't like the art style, but that shot in the comic when it's like zooming out, and there's just all the dead bodies lying around.
Well, you know what that's based on? It's actually based on art from the illustrated versions of the novel.
That makes sense.
Have you ever seen the illustrated?
Some of the illustrations, yeah.
Yeah, the Gunslinger has some of the best. That was actually a cover for the third print of the Dark Tower, was this all those dead bodies and Roland standing there with his guns.
Nice, but talking about the abortion reminded me of something. Bear with me. Flag, aka Walter, aka Martin, is the one who does it. You know, when that already happened in The Stand with Nadine.
Yes.
So in the original version, I mean, he wasn't maybe not intended to be Flag, but now he's just running around trying to impregnate women with his demon children.
Yeah, I don't...
Except this time it's his boss's child, somehow.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the whole Mordred thing when we get to the last two books. Last three books. So it starts being a problem.
Yeah. Which we can already tell people, stay tuned. We're going to talk about how two men and two women can have one child together.
That is also a spider.
A weird spider.
And it also has a grown man's penis as a baby. Because Stephen King is weird, and he decided that that was an important thing to put in his book.
Yeah.
I blame the drugs from being run over by a van that caused that to be a good idea to put in a book.
I mean, we can also blame those drugs for Dreamcatcher.
Yeah. And him saying that the Blair Witch Project is a good movie. It's the scariest movie he's ever seen. Anyway, let's talk about Jake. Jake is from another world. In this book, we're led to believe it's our world, circa the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
The man in black pushes him in front of a car. He gets run over. He ends up in the way station. And Roland basically takes him along with him to hunt down the man in black, because what else are you going to do with a boy? Which he is younger in the original version than he is in the revised. He's like 9 in the original, and in the revised he's more like 11. 10 or 11.
Yeah,
he takes Jake with him. We get the Oracle, which oracles are succubuses, basically, in the Dark Tower universe. They're very sex-driven. And it tries to have its way with the boy, of course, because this is a Stephen King book. And then Roland's like, no, I'm going to use... They don't talk about it so much in this one as they do in The Wastelands, that sex is both their power and their weakness. But this is an important thing. For some reason, Stephen King decided that this scene, out of anything in The Gunslinger, is like the most important thing to happen in the series. And I don't like it. It's weird. We get a lot of foreshadowing with this scene because she tells his future, and it will be very important at the very end of the series. But it's also confirmed by the man in black at the very end of this book, so it honestly feels kind of useless. Like, all of these things are brought up in the tarot card reading at the end of the book. So I don't know. A lot of the oracle thing just feels like nonsense.
But you gotta throw in some fantasy elements.
Yeah. Well, we have the slow mutants.
Also, it's an important plot point for later in the series because of Mordred.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I brought that up. But
okay. But
in this book, because it's just reiterated in with the talk with Walter at the end, it doesn't make sense, but it will make sense. But the slow mutants is my favorite part. I think my favorite part of the whole book, when they're in the caves, Jake knows that something's up with Roland. Roland stops referring to Jake as Jake and just as the boy, because he plans to leave him, which he does. But the slow mutants are creepy, and gross and icky. And they're almost as bad as the Mutie spiders, which have 2 seconds. There's all sorts of mutant spiders that Roland runs into in a cellar, which are creepy. That's at the way station, but it's not that important. It's just we had to have spiders because it's Stephen King.
Yeah.
And it's the tower. It's the Dark Tower. And spiders are important to the Dark Tower, but also not. Same time. It connection question mark? I don't know.
Yeah.
Stephen King has a thing that he doesn't like spiders.
Understandable.
It's fair. It's more than fair. I don't appreciate it either. I also don't appreciate eye gouging, but that happens a lot in his books.
Should we spoil the moment? What happens in this chapter? Or just straight up jump to the last one?
We have to talk about it.
Okay.
Jake falls to his death. And it's horrific and sad. But there are other worlds than these, and I will just leave that open.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah. We have to talk about that if we're going to talk about the rest of the series.
Yeah. Basically, Roland decides he has the choice, save the boy or go after Walter, the man in black. Mm-hmm. And he chooses to go after the man in black because he wants the tower.
That's all that matters, is the tower. Mm-hmm. Until you get to the tower.
Mm-hmm.
He just let
a little kid die.
Yeah, he lets a kid fall to his death. Which will cause all sorts of issues in the wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that and another event that happens in Drawing of the Three.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to talk about the man in black, Walter O'Dim, who has palaver with Roland for forever because he's magical.
On that note, that word is inserted in the revised version. I don't think it's in the original.
No, I think he's just called Walter.
No, palaver.
Oh, palaver?
Yeah, that's like
it is in there.
Is it?
I don't know. I know that that's a term used in Drawing of the Three.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's... I'm not sure. They have... long palaver, and Roland witnesses the creation of the universe.
Honestly, my favorite chapter, because
it's so weird.
Yeah, because reading this book for the first time, you're probably confused. Okay, I can kind of follow what's going on. This guy, Clint Eastwood, basically going after the wizard because he wants to go to this place, and the wizard knows how to get to that place. And you're probably thinking, okay, this is going to end in like a showdown. Not really.
No, it's just the end of the beginning.
And you get this talk that's like setting up what the tower truly is.
Yes, which is when we get in the revised version the mention of the Crimson King. In the original, you get the mention of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Controls the tower. Also, the gunslinger ages in 10 years.
Looks wise.
Yeah, he ages 10 years. But
there is implication that thousands of years have passed in the later books.
Yeah, in the revised version, they make that clear. In this version, they don't. In fact, they actually give Roland an age in the original, which is contradicted in other books as you go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the revised version, they actually say that he's immortal. Which will make sense when we get to the end.
Yeah.
I promise this will make sense.
But that's also just the thing with the series, because to explain a bit of the tower, as is told in the last chapter, basically is the centerpiece of the entire multiverse and time and space and everything. And it's falling apart, and that's why in Roland's world specifically, time and like space and like distance and stuff isn't working correctly anymore, which is cool. But King admitted it's more so done because he sucks at continuity, and he knew he would mess up East, West, and like ages and timeline stuff.
Well, yeah, we can talk about Drawing of the Three briefly, where he got a bunch of the streets in New York jumbled up and stuff. In fact, there's an apology in the foreword for how messed up New York. And I'll tell you, I'll defend King here. I've been to Boston twice, and I'm assuming King's been to New York a handful of times at least. If you don't live in New York, you're not going to know where the streets are. I can't tell you where any of the streets in Boston are and what they connect to. Or Los Angeles. I've been there a few times. Or like San Francisco. I can't tell you that. Most people can't unless you live in New York. Or you work in New York, you know? Like, Noah, can you name how all the streets intersect in Munich?
Nope.
Exactly. I'm defending King here. that's a Herculean task. Unless you lived in New York.
Especially at the time, because I think nowadays people would say, oh, you just open Google.
Yeah. Well, these books were written from the 70s to 2003.
And I doubt King would have taken the time to take like a street atlas, you know, and go through it or something.
What a pain. But it's explained in later books why things don't line up.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah. But in the Drawing of the Three, there isn't an apology. Because
Side note, he should have done like Ian Fleming when he was criticized for like shitting on New York and write a specific short story. Like as an apology. The Gunslinger in New York.
Well, we have that in Drawing of the Three.
Yeah.
And in awesome. The movie. And in the movie, we get to talk about the movie briefly. It's a movie that I've only seen part of, and I don't think you've ever seen at all.
Nope. We are saving that for a later date. The movie is just called The Dark Tower.
Yeah, but it's mostly Gunslinger, Some of Way Station, and the seventh book.
Genius.
And it is the most mind-boggling thing since making the Mangler into a series of films.
I like that I have a book like that has an interview in it where, like, I think it's Akiva Goldsman, that guy, talking about, like, yeah, so what we did, we wrote down all these cool moments from the entire saga, and then we rearranged them and tried to figure out which moments do we want to see in the film. Because that's how you write an adaptation of a 7-book fantasy series.
Yeah, I don't... No, don't do this. They should have never made it into a movie.
Yeah, except the only timeline where a movie adaptation could work, you get Clint Eastwood as Roland, you get Sergio Leone to direct, you get Ennio Morricone for the score. And anything else probably would suck.
Who would be Jake?
I don't know. Child actors, that's hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man in Black, you need something better than Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. You know, they tried to get him to play Flag and when they redid the miniseries for The Stand.
Mm-hmm. Did he say no?
Yeah. He said no immediately, but they wanted to have continuity with Dark Tower.
Mm-hmm. Genius.
And oh, the movie has a reference. They go through a carnival and it's called Pennywise.
Oh, the movie has a bunch of references. You see like the Overlook Hotel or something.
But they're dumb.
The references are dumb.
The Dark Tower the books, they do reference other King work.
Yeah. It's like the centerpiece. Because all his books are somewhat connected. But most of his connections are at least a little bit clever. More clever than the movie.
Yeah. till we get to the end. Till we get to the end, and they just start outright when King becomes a character. I don't know how I feel about that still. We'll see in the next couple seasons if I've warmed up to that. I don't know if I will. It feels like nonsense to have write yourself into a book. It feels very Lemony Snicket, which is never the greatest thing to do. But anyway, highly recommend The Gunslinger. Which version would you recommend, though, Noah?
I would recommend the revised version. I think most of the editions were good, because what King also said, he cleaned up. Because he wrote the book when he was 19, and he said, like, oh, he wrote really pretentious. Because he was thinking he was writing literature for eternity. And, yeah, I think it's good that he cleaned it up as, like, a more experienced author. I just think it flows better. And again, I think it's my favorite in the series, which is a controversial opinion because most people struggle to get through it.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautifully written. It's a great introduction. I really enjoy it. And I would say if you're a fan, definitely give the original a try as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting read.
Yeah. This is the most read book of my entire collection.
Mm-hmm.
It's The Dark Tower. Gunslinger. I've read Drawing of the Three several times too, because it's weirdly written at times. It's kind of fascinating to read.
Yeah.
But yeah, this blew my mind in high school. And it took me it actually took me 8 years to read all the books.
Damn.
Because I would get like just distracted, and I ended up going through a really hard time in my life, and I said, I'm just gonna read all of The Dark Tower. And I did. I read them all one after the other.
Hmm.
I listened to them. I listened to the audiobooks. Which this one's got a great audiobook. It's not Frank Mueller.
We have to point that out once we get to Wastelands. Because of the thing that happened. That's a nice little...
Well, he did Wizard in Glass.
He did, okay. But yeah. I know him from specifically what King writes in Wolves of the Color.
Yeah, yeah. He did a lot of the audiobooks for King in the early days. He's tragically not with us anymore due to a terrible accident. But unfortunately... Because these books are the early King books are so popular, they have re-recorded a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Frank Mueller's recordings are lost. Specifically ones you can still find of his different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Talisman, Dark Tower books 2 through 4. He didn't do all of them. He just did a lot of them. Those are the ones that come to mind specifically. But, I mean, some of the new recordings for things for Stephen King books are terrible. Mm. They keep Dead Zone by James Franco.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's when they get, like, actors and people to read the books. It's
weird. Well, Stephen King does his own audiobook for Needful Things.
Mm.
I don't know how I could handle him reading his own fiction. That long. I'm not his child, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, what's his face from Dexter does the audiobook for Pet Sematary.
Hmm.
The woman that did Cujo, I thought wasn't bad.
Huh.
I'm not saying that the people that aren't Frank Mueller are bad. It's just he is my favorite. And he really gets the pronunciations down very well. The guy they replace him with, for Wolves of the Kala, I listened to that while driving to Montana and back. So it took that most of that car trip to get used to it. The adjustment. he's fine. The guy who does most of the new stuff is fine.
But you know, this reminds me, the actress who played Holly Gibney in the Mr. Mercedes TV show does the audiobook for the novel, Holly.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
Well, is she played by the same person who did it in the Outsider miniseries?
No. That was the black woman for some reason.
Okay.
And I say for some reason because that's really strange, having two shows going on like at the same time with the same character played
by... I've never seen either of these. I know what happens in the Bill Hodges trilogy, but I've not really read them. But I did read The Outsider and didn't like it enough to watch it. I know a lot of people really liked The Outsider miniseries. I didn't bother. The book's one half a good book.
Mm-hmm.
The other half is...
All I know about the Mr. Mercedes TV show, they changed the order of the books. So book one, book three, and then book two. Great.
Is that as bad as how long Under the Dome the show lasted?
No, because Under the Dome went into a completely insane direction. Like, really far away from the book. I've never seen the last seasons. I've only seen the first... I've seen the complete first season. I've seen, like, half of the second season. That's what actually kind of got me into King. The first season on TV back in the day. And then I was like, oh, that's a cool premise. I want to read the original because the show isn't completed and I want the whole story.
Yeah, Under the Dome is... That'll be an undertaking when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not for, like... That'll be near the end.
Yeah.
Or who knows? I mean, Stephen King's brain will be put in a robot and...
He's just gonna continue writing. There's already two more books announced.
What's the other one?
You Like It Darker earlier this year, and probably later this year... Another Holly Gibney book. We Think Not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because he loves Holly Gibney for some reason.
She's going to be teaming up with Roland on the way to the Dark Tower.
No, that was Gwendy.
No, Gwendy will
too. She got shot into space to save the Dark Tower. She had to destroy Pandora's box. That's
the box?
The button box, yeah, and Walter is now a good guy.
See, I like to think that Gwendy's actually secretly a villain.
That would be fun.
That would be shocking. I don't know if Richard Chisma would allow it.
Oh boy, when we get to Gwendy's final task, the contradictions with the Dark Tower series is amazing. Or like the problems it causes, which I think I mentioned at some point, but it's bad. It also establishes Pennywise is definitely still alive in the 2010s.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought he had announced that he wanted to do another It.
I don't know if he did, but... That was like the closest I remember.
Maybe that's making continuity with the It movies.
Oh, we do have that new It show coming out. Welcome to Derry. It's happening.
Oh, okay.
That apparently ties in with the movies. I saw some trailer. The Pennywise design is the same, but it's not Bill Skarsgård playing
him. Yeah, well, he's not going to do a TV show.
Yeah, obviously. And... The trailer I saw called it It Chapter 3, which, I don't know what that is about, because it's a TV show, unless they changed it.
I can't wait for us to just talk about It. And all of the weird, not good film adaptations.
What is the infamous one? Is it like the Indian It or Chinese or what was it?
I don't know, but there's some
that exists.
There's some weird ripoffs. The made for TV one is a lot of people's gateway into horror, and it's terrible. Except for like the kids' parts are fine. It's the adults. It's like the director didn't know how to direct adults. It's bizarre. Mm-hmm. But like the remakes aren't the two American ones they made are not good.
They're competently made. I mean, I can give them that.
The horror is just bad. It's the same setup every time.
Mm-hmm.
They get the books a little repetitive because they're kids being scared of things. But there's more creativity in the book.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things just left out. It's just weird, but we don't need to talk about that right now.
Yeah.
We got like four more books before we get to that, or five.
A good number of books.
Yeah. We're getting close to it, but I think we have different seasons of the one that's after this.
Different seasons. Christine, Pet Sematary, Skeleton
Creepshow. Creepshow is in there.
Creepshow, Skeleton Crew, Finner,
Cycle
the Talisman.
Werewolf? Oh,
the Cycle Talisman. Of the Werewolf. Yeah. Yeah, and then it.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Anyway, I think that's all we have.
Mm-hmm.
All paths connect to the beam. Though that hasn't been said yet in the Dark Tower.
It will become a thing.
It will become a thing. So, anyway, have a good one.
Bye-bye.